WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Yiddish is the language that held together Jewish immigrants from different countries when they came to America, but the language has been in decline for many years. Our linguist Jeff Nunberg has noticed that Yiddish words seem to be in increasingly common use these days, and not just among Jews.
There was a front-page article in the New York Times not long ago that talked about how the New York City police force was not enforcing jaywalking laws, which was saving people a lot of tsuris. It was sort of funny to see that word there, particularly in a story that the Times ran in its national edition. You figure maybe they ought to have run a little footnote for their readers in Boise or Little Rock who aren't used to hearing Yiddish words bandied back and forth across the deli counter. Tsuris, from Yiddish, trouble or aggravation. But when I did a database search, I was surprised to find over 400 press citations for the word over the past 10 years or so under any of six different spellings. And by no means all of them were from the New York papers or were used in particularly Jewish contexts. For example, there was one story in the Washington Post that talked about all the tsuris that Queen Elizabeth has had to deal with her family. That one brought me up short because I had a little trouble imagining the Queen herself using the word. Oh, Philip, if you knew the tsuris I've had with my mishpucha. Then again, you never know. Yiddish words and expressions seem to be increasingly common these days, and it's not only Jews who are using them. Not long ago, I heard an Irish-American real estate broker say, "Once you get finished paying the taxes, you won't be left with bupkis." I was impressed that he knew the word, though I doubt whether he knew that it originally had a meaning of goat turds. It's true that American English has always been pretty open about borrowing words from other languages. But we tend to stop borrowing from a language once its use begins to wane and the words it already has given us become thoroughly Americanized. You look at all the words that we borrowed from Dutch in the 17th and 18th centuries, and nobody has any idea that they were once foreign. Words like waffle, boss, stoop, poppycock, even Yankee. Whereas the Yiddish words in English retain a foreign feel. In fact, we seem to have a preference for borrowing the ones that sound particularly Yiddish, like schlemiel, schmooze, and chutzpah. And what's more, their use seems to be spreading at a time when Yiddish itself has pretty much disappeared from view. It would be going too far to call Yiddish a dead language, but most younger American Jews now know only a couple of dozen words of it and have no memory of the lively, secular Yiddish culture that was so prominent in politics and the arts in the early years of the century. Actually, that may be connected to the reason why Yiddish words are on the upswing. It's as if something happened in the American imagination that transformed Jews from an ethnicity to a character type, the slightly self-deprecating, sardonic observer who gets to say things that Gentiles can't say about themselves. You think of Woody Allen having dinner with Diane Keaton's family in Annie Hall, or all of the TV comedies that are more or less modeled on that movie, like Anything But Love, Mad About You, even Seinfeld. It gives non-Jews a new license to use Yiddish words themselves, as if to signal their own ironic detachment from the passing scene. It's not that people all think of themselves as Jews now, but that they all think of themselves as shiksas. Of course, people don't always use the Yiddish words correctly. Take schmuck. In Yiddish, it's a name for the penis that's also used to mean a stupid person, as in, what a schmuck I was not to buy Intel at 27. But nowadays, I keep hearing people use it to mean something like bastard, as in, he's a real schmuck to his employees. My theory is that Gentiles hear schmuck used in such a vehemently disapproving way, and they think it must mean something stronger than merely a fool, not realizing that Yiddish culture considers stupidity as one of the cardinal vices. The linguist Alan Prince has pointed out that Yiddish seems to have more words for stupid and foolish people than the Eskimos are supposed to have for snow. There's schmuck, schlemiel, schlemazel, schmendrick, schmegegi, schnook, putz, not to mention less well-known items like na, flattercup, and moishe kapoya, which is a nice way of describing somebody who does everything backwards. And I suppose this sort of reinterpretation is inevitable when these ethnic items are adapted for general consumption. And these intermarriages do have their charms, whether they involve language, sex, or food. You walk into a bagel shop nowadays, and it's hard to suppress your sense of wonder. Who'd have thought you could take those dense, hard rings of boiled dough and cook them up into these agreeably fluffy concoctions stuffed with blueberries? Enjoy.
Jeff Nunberg is a linguist at Stanford University and the Xerox Palo Alto Research Center.